Siamo qui con Thanos Anastopoulos per Fucine Mutte, che presenta il film Correction al Trieste Film Festival. The places are very, very often protagonist in your movies, even from the practical point of view, literally. And I really appreciate this portrait of Athens because it's not conventional and it's a personal opinion, but I found the most of my impression in a lot of scene. So I would like to understand why did you feel to give us this kind of portrait of the city, and it's something natural for you to avoid this kind of glorious portrait and to look to the intimate dimension of the places, or it was related with this movie?
So, well, it's rather easy to explain. First of all, for me, in the film there were three characters, a man, a woman, and a little girl, and the city of Athens. So, in a way, the city of Athens is the fourth protagonist. Without the city of Athens, the whole story doesn't, hold. You can put it in other cities of Europe. I mean, the same story, in a way, can take place. But Athens is the place that I know better. And the choice I made was almost instinctively, because I followed all these places that are shot in the film are in the dead center of Athens, but not the touristical part of the center. And it was most of them the neighborhood that I grew up. So, I mean, I've been living almost all my life in this neighborhood, and I have seen the changes of this neighborhood throughout the years, especially after the 90s, when the first wave of immigrants came to Greece, and gradually neighborhoods of Athens started to change, in a way, their identity. One of the first ones was this one, because it was a rather cheap neighborhood of the center, so you could, in a way, find a cheaper rent to rent a house. And it's interesting because Greece had a kind of history of immigration towards other countries. I mean, there is a long history of Greeks immigrating to countries of the West, to the United States, to Canada, to Australia, to Germany, to Belgium, to France. But although we had this in our, in a way, history, we were kind of shocked when it happened the opposite. And in a way, the results of this shock, you can see them in the faces of the city, literally in the even in the outside part, but even in the indoors of apartments of Athens. So in a way, it was just trying to be truthful to the image of Athens. Another thing, in a way, that made me very, I would say, confident, was a kind of a feeling between a question mark and rage and furious. The fact that I was rarely was seeing these images in other Greek films, and not at all in Greek television. So it was like if this part of the city was not existing, if it was something like we didn't want to show to anyone. And one other reason was, I mean, that this place that this restaurant owner runs is a souvlaki restaurant. And probably it's the first Greek film that has a series of scenes in a souvlaki restaurant. Normally, although we're going 3-4 times per week to souvlaki places, you don't see them in films or in television. So it's a kind of either it's too obvious and so nobody, I mean, deals with it, or it's a kind of taboo. I don't know what it is, but to me it was just the idea that I wanted to be true.
There is also a big attention for the lights, mm-hmm. and for example in the scene on the roof, and also in the scene when they are under the level, there is this shadow and the contrast with the light, mm-hmm. and I found it was very original, the movie, even in the way to focus the And I would like to understand a bit more, how do you work in this sense, how do you work to build this scene, this cadrage, mm-hmm. and even how was your cooperation with Ilias Adamis,
yeah.
Adamis, which is the director of, yes.
It's a great, I mean, procedure in a way. From the very, very beginning, there was this concern about the use of the focus. And since we had decided to shoot the film on digital video, high definition video, I was very much concerned about the fact that high definition video has a big depth of field. So, I mean, you have someone who is in focus here, but something that is 10-15 meters back can be also in focus, which for a film set in Athens, it's dreadful, because you can't control anything in Athens, it's so chaotic. And then it was going against the idea of the main character, because I wanted to have, in a way, his own perspective. The moment he gets out of prison, you have the idea that he's getting back to society, but he has a kind of distorted vision, in a way, that focuses and defocuses. And I wanted to have this perspective from his point of view, and then around the middle of the film, when things were a little bit more clear, I changed the perspective, first from the point of view of the woman and then from the little girl. So the idea was to change this point of view, and to be able to do that, we were, in a way, tried to handle how the depth of field was working. So we had to take a special adapter, a 35 millimeter adapter that we put in front of the video camera lens, and then we used photographic lenses in order to have the same, in a way, feeling that you have when you're making a photograph, the old style photographs. And so it was a rather complicated but also fun tool to work with.
And a discovery.
And on the other hand, it was also a bet that we put with my DOP, Ilias Adamis. And this was the first point. And then the other thing that you mentioned as well was this relationship between bright and dark, yeah. and shadows, to intensify, in a way, the emotions. Actually, for this scene that takes place in the apartment, we had to slow, while it's a rather easy scene, he's just entering the hall and it's nothing. I mean, normally you can shoot it very quickly, but we stopped a little while, reflecting a lot on how the light would be until we find the right light. So we tried one or two things before, I mean, deciding to this one. And as for the rooftop scene, I think that we were lucky, in a way, because it was a day that the light was like that. I mean, in a low budget film, you can't have the luxury to wait days and days until you get the sky the way you really like it. But it seems that because we were determined the way we wanted to do the film, we were lucky as well. Yeah.
The world is has a very marginal role in this movie. Mm-hmm. The image is the image, the light, the focus has the main part, as we said, and especially in referring to the protagonist Yorgos, who is saying very few words, almost nothing in the whole movie. So I wanted to understand if it was a conscious choice, if you feel like that, or if it comes out like something spontaneous with the movie, with the characters.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's say that I do believe that cinema is a form of expression through images and sounds more than words. I don't have anything against words, but it depends how you use them. I mean, you can have very inventive ways of using verbal cinema, like a film of Woody Allen, which is super verbal. But let's say I prefer to concentrate on the details of the image and to the faces of the characters, that sometimes to me they speak more to what the words could say, even their bodies, the way they in a way move. And initially the let's say the script had more dialogue, and during the shooting, not so much more, but more than this, but during the shooting we subtracted, let's say, half, and another part was subtracted in the editing until we arrived to the absolutely necessary. And this is, it's not a conscious choice you make it from the beginning, but it's also a choice that is being made by the procedure in a way. Through the script, when you write, you have to write things down in order for someone who reads it to understand. But then if you see a reaction or a body movement or an act of the character that can say all this, then you don't need to add it with the word, it becomes too pompous. So we try to find the balance. So there are some important words that are inside the film and some others that are missed and gone.
I would like to investigate a bit about the story, how the idea born for the story, how did you develop this twisting screenplay, and also something personal, if how much there is about you in the story, I mean, apart from the places, if there is something personal or...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for this question. You know, this is, after a year of festivals, you are the only one who dared to ask me this question. So, the story starts way back in 2004, when in July, the Greek national team of football won the European Champions in Portugal. And this provoked a big pride in the country, because we were outsiders, we were coming from nowhere, we won, we were the kings of Europe. And then in September we had to start again the preliminaries for the World Cup of Germany of 2006. And the first match that the Greek team had to play, by a strange destiny, was against the national team of Albania in Tirana. So Albania is considered a minor, I mean, team of football. We went there with the arrogance of being the champions, and we lost. And the same moment, there were hundreds, thousands of Albanian immigrants that went out in the streets of Athens celebrating the victory of their team. And there were also some Greek hooligans who came out, and there were some extensive riots in the center of Athens, which resulted to the death of one Albanian fan. And we never spoke, I mean, after some days of the newspapers, then the whole thing almost was forgotten, like if you had put it under the carpet. Then the team was eliminated from the World Cup, so it was the shame in a way. And so this was the initial idea, and as a fact. But then the real story was that I wanted to portray in a way the relationship between one man, one woman, and a little girl, but not necessarily that they are a family, but this strange fate that they might have, people that theoretically could be members of one family, but they're not. The fact that they can live parallel itineraries and roads, solitary roads, independent roads in a city like Athens. And then there was this sense of guilt that the main character is carrying in a way. And all this is blended in a way closer to me, but in a very bizarre way that you would say, I mean, it's personal on the, at the same moment as it is a fiction, you understand? I mean, you always, if you're honest, in every work you're creating, there are personal things inside. Either they're conscious or subconscious, but you are, they're getting infiltrating there. So, yeah, there are many parts, let's say, between the relationships of the main characters, the three main characters, that I feel very close.
About this subject, do you have some literary influence also, references? Because it's a theme which is, I thought about Dostoevsky, for example, at first.
Yes.
or other kind of references, even in the cinema that you
tell
like.
Tell me.
No, it's a question for you.
It's a question, but tell me. You know why? When I started doing it, I didn't have anything specific in mind. I'm not saying that I was inventing something that was never happened. I mean, I thought that it had to do also with Dostoevsky and moral choices and all this. But I mean, the whole history of culture is filled up with these kind of stories.
Yes.
And I'm sure that my influences are there throughout all the readings of the books and the films and the theater plays and the paintings and the musics that I have seen and heard throughout my life. But when I started making the film, I didn't have something specific in mind. No.
You just mentioned the theater, which was my question, because today at the conference you explained us that you met the protagonist, the actor who plays Yorgos, at the theater. So I would like to understand this meeting and what have you done in the theaters?
For many years I was resisting to the idea of directing for the theater, because I was I don't know why. I thought the theater was boring, and that this idea that you had to rehearse all the time, and in a way, it's not very nice to say this, but in a way, in the cinema, the director is still, in a way, the director. He, under brackets, can still control things. While in the theater, it's the kingdom of the actors. Even if you're the greatest director, if the actors don't, I mean, create this interaction with the public, nothing is working. And then they were talking all the time in the theater, and you couldn't leave this box. So I had many prejudices against the theater. Until one day, someone proposed me to do a series of photographs he has made of homeless people in Athens. He's a writer, and he has made photographs of homeless people in Athens, and he has written some kind of texts, like monologues, but invented, he invented them. And he told me, why don't we try to do that as a kind of experiment? And I said, well, why not? And I found three actors, which I didn't know before. One of them was Yorgos. And we tried to work on this, and it was a really pleasant experience, probably because it was not initially a theater play. But I started liking it, and after this I made also another one. And now I start having less prejudices for the theater. And while we were working with Yorgos, and we were documenting a little bit about this, I realized I mean, first the idea of the environment of this character was born. I like the idea that he could be homeless, that he could rehabilitate. I mean, when he's coming back from prison, he has all this life. I like that because in a way, when you come back from prison, you are also a marginalized person. In a way, you are in the same fate as the immigrant are in the film. So it's like changing camp. And I wanted to portray all this from the film. So I thought he was just the right person. And since he's leading a life of a very... I mean, his whole life is just theater. He lives in a very small apartment with books and music. He rarely eats. He's sleeping, going to the theater for rehearsal, coming back, reading, going to sleep, theater, play. So he was, this is why I said this morning that he's like a monk. And I thought this was, morally speaking, close to the determination of the main character of the film. And this made, and then he's someone that, first of all, it was a joy to work with him because he's very inventive and he's proposing things while being at the same time the perfect soldier. So there is a kind of a love relationship that you give and you take, and you give and you take, and you, when you take back, you have to give again, and it's, well, and finally you can see that in the screen. I was surprised. I'm sorry. In the beginning, when we saw the races after the end of the film, I mean, you can see them through the shooting, but then when you finish the film and you watch them with a kind of distance, I was surprised by the fact that you could, excuse me, that you could follow him. In a way, you were hooked at looking at him. And so I felt more confident to keep this pace of the film, because the pace is rather slow. And you really need good actors in order to keep you. Because when you have a seducing person in front of you, then you can follow him even in the little details. So, yeah, it's like that.
You mentioned this work at the theater with the homeless. And even in your movie, the social aspects are very, very important. So I would like to understand if you feel this social involvement as a part of your responsibility, part of your job, or if it was just a case.
No, 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 it was not a case. It was conscious. I mean, there is always a kind of social background in everything I do. Sometimes it's more evident and sometimes less. But let's say, since I was... I mean, I'm coming from a very middle-class environment. I mean, my two parents were working, I mean, employees. The typical dull middle-class life. So, I mean, I never missed anything. I mean, I never had something special, but I never missed also something. So, the average. And when you are at the average, you have this ability to be able to look also up and down. And well, it's in a way, to me, it's a quality. It's like having, I mean, the possibility to wear glasses. I mean, if you don't wear glasses and your sight is perfect, then you never know how it looks, like this or like this. Mm-hmm. And it's always nice to be able to have this perspective. And so I was interested in the fact that we were leading this life and many people were pretending that things were not happening. Many people are projecting in the way their life, the society, the relations, the way they projected, they wanted to be, or how they were in the past, and no one was speaking about what was happening now. So in a way, I wanted to make a film like a mirror. This is why the film starts with a mirror. Yeah.
What about the production, the team that work with you, the shooting, how it worked, how long did it take to you to...
Well, this was a very, a film that was made in a state of urgency. I mean, the moment I decided that I want to do it, the script was written rather quickly. Then we re-elaborated the script and we changed it throughout the shootings, and then we changed again during the editing. But this is, in a way, for me, it's rather my normal procedure, because I'm the kind of person who proceeds through all the stages. We didn't have money, and I decided to, I could apply for a grant from the Greek Film Center and for the Greek television and distributors, but then all of them, no one would in a way reply immediately, and I wanted to do the film immediately. So I did apply. I was a little bit reluctant, because since the film had to do with the relations between Greek and Albanians, which is a kind of taboo subject, I knew that there won't be from the very beginning saying, "Wow, this was the film we were all waiting for, take the money and go and shoot it." So I was also a little bit shy and reluctant to do so. But in a way, I applied, but then I said, "Okay, I'm going to shoot the film, whatever happens." So I made, in a way, reality the middle class dream. I went to the bank and I took a loan, and instead of buying a house or a luxurious car, I made this film. And then while we were in the editing, we received all the responses from the Greek Film Center, from the television, from the distributors, and they were all negative. But it was too late, because the film was already shot and we were in the editing, and I was rather happy with the material. So, you see, after the end of the film, when the film went first to Thessaloniki and then to Berlin, they were very proud and they entered the co-production afterwards. Which is a story that is being repeated in many countries, so it's not even original. Exactly. This actually makes me a little bit sad, because it's repeated. And so we were, by circumstances, we were few, and we shot very quickly. We were maximum 12 people, especially for the scenes that were, inside the restaurant, the wedding scene, some scenes in the house. And when we were shooting outside, in the streets of Athens, we were 5. With Yorgos 6. And it was very bizarre, because you had the feeling like making a kind of guerrilla film, because we were with... I know you have been in Athens, so you know that there's a problem with the parking. So in order not to lose time for the shooting, we were in 3 motorcycles with all the equipment, 2 in every motorcycle. So we were going to a place, we were leaving the motorcycles, we were shooting a scene, hopping the motorcycles, going to another place. And we shot this in almost 4 weeks, yeah. So rather quickly, yeah. Well, I would say that since we were motivated and passionate, and in a way I felt that all the collaborators were feeling this way, when you are like that, it's also sometimes you feel fortunate, and you yeah. So we will be able to finish it well, yeah.
We mentioned a bit the situation in your country, the support and so on, referring to this movie. So, and I know that you took part also in Saloniko to the international festival. And I would like to ask you your opinion in general about the Greek cinematography at the moment. There is also a Greek section here at the festival this year. So,
yeah. Well. First of all, I have to tell you that we're probably in a way we don't feel like that, but I think we are privileged because in Greece you have almost a production of an average of 22 feature films per year, which is a big number for the population of the country. And the recent years, there is a kind of a new, I wouldn't name it new wave, because I don't like this kind of stereotypical, I mean, etiquettes, that, I mean, brand type that someone is giving. But, I mean, there is a new emerging generation of filmmakers who deal with problems that are inside the society, either through intimate stories or large-scale stories, but in a way, in a more fresh, direct way, and which actually most of them are here in this retrospective, which is concentrated in the last 10 years. Most, the big majority of these directors made their first feature film after 2000. So it's in a way a new approach to Greek cinema. Some of them had managed to have an international festival, mostly festival circuit, some not, but I think that's a lot of things to happen. I mean, I'm
there's movement.
There's something going on. Yeah, well, you know, these are easy things to say after. It's not when they're going on, but I think there's something going on. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, which is nice, because actually I was reflecting a lot on the fact that sometimes people ask me, they feel a little bit uncomfortable with the image which is portrayed on the film about Greeks being made by a Greek. And I was considering that the fact that someone can make this film and has this image proves in a way that the society is alive. Because if not, you just see everything is fine and everybody is in security and there's no problem and you don't have to worry about anything. So the fact that you see these kind of things mean that really, I mean, there's hope, yeah. But into this I'm totally adolescent and romantic.
Last question is the common one. What is going on about you? What's your next project?
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm in the middle of editing a documentary that I'm making. It's a commission about an educational program in schools of Muslim minority children in Thrace, and I'm preparing the next project. I'm still in the phase of, let's say, researching, writing, but I have a kind of, how should we say, I wouldn't call it a superstition, but I'm generally not speaking about these, not because either someone is going to steal the idea or I won't be able to be at the standards of what I created, but because when you speak about the project that is yet to come, is you spread the energy.
You lost a bit of the soul of the project.
Yeah, it's like speaking about a woman that you want to flirt. You don't have to, you just flirt her. So first the flirting and then the result.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.